Welcome back to the program. As I said, join us on line number one is the president of the Newfoundland Labrador Teachers Association. That is Dean Ingram. Good morning, Dean. You're on the air.
And good morning to you as well, Patty, and to your listening audience.
Welcome back to the show. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough time to get into the issues deeply enough yesterday, so we welcome your time this morning. Thank you, sir. Okay.
No worries.
Now, before we get into some of the different moving parts here, there's a lot of teachers connecting with me, and I hear these commentaries being offered widespread, is the lack of or the limited consultation between your organization and the government in developing the plans. What did the consultation look like?
We were engaged with government through meetings with ourselves, the department, and NLESD for weeks. We were involved providing our feedback, providing what we thought should form the basis of an effective reentry plan that maintains health and safety in students. I want to stress from the outset that we need students back in school. We need our schools to resume. But underpinning all of that has to be a return to what is a safe environment for students, for teachers, for all the staff, and everyone that enters the building. We received notification last Friday that this plan was going to be released. We received notification of it being released literally minutes before the announced by government Friday passed that the conference was happening on Monday to announce it. The final plan we did not see, and hence some of the questions that we have now, had we been provided the opportunity to provide feedback on the final plan, we could have offered that. Hopefully it would have been considered. So really that's where things are.
There are some, just like in every other facet of life, there are some policies or recommendations which don't necessarily jive with some of the more forceful messaging. For instance, they're talking about, you know, well, I've talked about this many times, class sizes, and what class sizes mean for the overall impact of a positive day of learning, but also as it pertains to physical distancing now. So they want to have a safe environment, which has to include the safe physical distancing, but then they go on to say also in the document that teachers shouldn't overemphasize the physical distancing bit with children because of potential psychological harm. So how are we supposed to strike a balance of messaging for the parents, the students, the teachers, administrators, all involved?
Well, that's a critical question. I mean, on your show yesterday, one of the things that Dr. Hagee mentioned, I've said from the outset that dealing with COVID, we had the default to the health experts, the epidemiologists, the infection degree specialists. Dr. Hagee is the lead person for health in this province. He is our province's lead health expert as Minister of Health. And his exact statement was, the real important thing is physical distancing. Now, as it pertains to young people, youth, I know that the report on page one references the Hospital for Sick Kids study, but that study, that report is far from clear cut. There's a number of people that have raised concerns that. Dr. Hyde out of Australia,
yep,
who raised a number of things there. I believe there's a Swedish epidemiologist conclusion. In fact, he said, the epidemiologist quoted in the Sickers report, and this was incorrect, that there were no COVID outbreaks in Swedish schools. To that end, the CEO, the president of SickKids, acknowledged the criticisms and was very clearly states that it has to be a starting point. And a quote from him, we still have to take it with a grain of salt. Fair enough. Now, if that's your basis, and the other thing which I think brings into question any conclusion about how young people are affected, the reality is we have worldwide, we have an extremely limited data set on which to base any conclusion about how young people are affected. There's more being learned every day, and one thing I've consistently said is that, yes, we will never know if we've been too cautious, but we certainly will know if we haven't been cautious enough.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things we have to consider. I think it's important to clarify a couple of other things as well. I do know that Minister Waugh, who I have a great deal of respect for, I believe he's an honorable man. I think he's a forthright person. But I think it has to be clarified, Minister Waugh's statements regarding the resources that are going to our schools in September that are slated to do that. Minister Waugh said that there are additional resources going to school. We have raised concerns about physical distancing. The Education Action Plan was developed 3 years ago from the Premier's Task Force on Education. These resources were put forward on a three-year cycle, a plan to identify what was needed based on identified shortcomings in our current system. we do believe that there has to be additional resources put in, which is why we're pressing for the review, the independent review of the allocation model. That being said, however, those resources were not put in to address COVID-related issues. They were put in to address issues related to shortcomings, not to mention the fact that from our 7 to 12 school system, not one fraction of a resource is put in to account for that. These are concerns we have, so I wanted to clarify, I thought it was important to clarify the resources made available through the Education Action Plan and stress that while they are being put in, and they are a good start, they are not put in relation to COVID. And this is our point. We think there are resources needed to effectively measure what Dr. Hagee has said is an important physical distancing measures.
We're not going to be able to increase the footprint of a school. Now, you can indeed bring in portables, but that would also require more teachers. But the NLTA, of course, you're engaged in collective bargaining, and there are set schedules and professional learning days, and the Christmas holidays are defined, and the same with the summer. But in an effort to break up a school day, whether it be, you know, semesterized from 7 to 12 and or this age group goes in the morning, this in the afternoon, the school day might be longer. So if we can't stay physically distanced as it's currently the traditional way of going to school, opening the doors for whatever grades are inside that building, is the possibility there where we'll see? Now, I don't want to talk about more demands on teachers because I know how demanding the job is already. But what are your thoughts on maybe adjusting the schedule so that we can indeed have a safer environment for all involved, including the teachers?
One of the things the report, the Interplan clearly states that the respect of and adhere to the provisions in collective agreements for all staff involved. There are, we would be willing to have discussions, but we would have those discussions would have to respect the nature of our collective agreement. There are certain things that are there. With regards to professional learning, I've shared this before, is that it's very important that professional learning must occur, certainly getting ready for a COVID reality in our schools. Professional learning must happen from the technical side, but also from the pedagogical side. I can say with great certainty that teaching in an online environment is a different beast than teaching face-to-face. And with the exception of some 50 educators that have been doing it, and I include myself as one, I did it for 10 years, there's very few that actually have that direct new curriculum delivery expertise. We have a lot of very qualified, highly innovative teachers in the system. I know these are there. But the report very clearly says that the respective collective agreements will respect it, and we'd certainly be willing to work within the confines of those to make the system work and now, provide education for students.
We're talking about a data collection, a daily questionnaire to be filled out by the parents and or students right across the province every single day. Don't know how that's going to work or who's going to be tasked with dealing with all of that stuff. Cleaning the school, PPE. There's only one component in the education system that has to or is encouraged to do something in addition to just, you know, coughing sneeze etiquette into the crooked arm. Wear a mask, we're talking about. That's bus drivers. No talk about any other safety measures inside the school for anybody, the principal, vice, teacher, students.
These are certainly concerns, and again, to me, this is one of our largest questions, is that I see, and many others, when we read through the reentry plan, a lot of inconsistencies between the messaging that Dr. Fitzgerald, Minister Hagee, and the Premier have been stating for the past 4 months. Those measures that we've had for the past 4 months are what are responsible for getting us to the positive place we sit at today. If we revert back from that, the positive situation we have today may not be the positive situation we have tomorrow. Enhanced cleaning protocols, as referenced in the report, and I would certainly hold that we need to have enhanced cleaning protocols, but I don't know how it's possible to do that enhanced cleaning with the same staff, let alone a potential reduced staff at times. And if government expects that the same number of cleaners in the school can double or triple their workload without additional help, the only conclusion you can draw is they must believe that these people aren't working to capacity. The NLTA, I certainly don't accept that they weren't working to capacity, and more cleaners will be required. Now, yesterday, I believe Minister Ward did state that additional resources would be available in our schools to address these extra cleaning protocols. I think that's an important piece. I'm certainly pleased to hear that acknowledgement. But I want to stress, it's not the responsibility of a teacher to clean schools. Teachers aren't going to do the work of another bargaining unit. And I would suggest that parents wouldn't want teachers neglecting instructional duties, education needs, or children to take on those tasks.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason there's not a lot of detail, because we really don't know exactly what September brings. But, you know, you say that to be additional resources for cleaning, and then there's other references to adequate resources. And on this one, we're talking about social, emotional health.
Yep.
You and I repeatedly have talked about the ratio of students to guidance counselors continues to be at around 1 to 500, when the recommendation of, I don't know, more than a decade ago, yep, was 1 to 333, which is still not a good enough ratio in my personal opinion. So they say adequate resources. What does that look like? Because if we had a problem before COVID-19, then children may indeed have, or school-aged children may indeed have, some additional anxiety issues, especially returning to school in some of these bigger gatherings that they've been told are not wise for months prior. So what does adequate mean? What are we hoping for?
I think we need to look seriously at, as we mentioned, the 1 to 333 ratio was arrived at from, I want to stress this, a government commission. This was a government commission. It wasn't the NLTA. It was a government commission that recommended that ratio of 1 to 333 back in 2007. Everyone knows that our system has changed. There's been an emphasis on mental health throughout the province and certainly amongst youth. Talk to any educators in the system, anyone attached to the education system, they will recognize and reiterate the problems, the anxieties we had pre-COVID. There were students that were receiving services before COVID, back early winter, back in the fall, that with this past 3 months, with the anxieties they had because of home situations, other factors, undoubtedly many of them would have regressed. Undoubtedly those problems will have manifested even more so. There has to be consideration, at least on an interim basis, while we're dealing with, at least on that, of putting something in place to address what we know will be significant mental health concerns among students. These are there, and they need to be addressed. Any policy, any plan that's not effectively resourced and supported will be challenged to be successful. And we've seen that in the past, inclusive education and that policy procedure. In fact, the Premier's task force openly stated the current inclusive model is not working. One of the reasons for it not working is the fact that it was not properly resourced and supported. And I would hold the argument that unless the back-to-school plan is effectively resourced and supported, we may find the same thing. Now, that being said, on Monday morning, the Premier did call me directly, and I appreciated that phone call. We had a good discussion, and the Premier reiterated two things. He reiterated that there would be further consultation, and the NLTA would be involved in the consultation space, how we actually implement this, which is a good thing to hear. I'm very glad to hear that. But consultation has to be more than simply hearing what we have to say. It has to be looked at taking what we say into account and acting on those recommendations as well. Further to that, I know that either Mr. Abbott or Mr. Fury will be our premier when our schools reopen. Both of those have reached out to me, indicate they have a desire for a meeting to discuss these issues we have. One of them has actually reached and scheduled it, which is going to happen in a matter of days. And while the other has indicated they would, but I haven't heard back from the other person at this time, and I'm assuming that I will.
Well, it's a pretty big issue that they're going to have to be prepared to hit the ground running when the Premier-elect is announced or voted on August the 3rd. We're quickly running out of time, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you highlight whatever else, but this is my last question, is what about children with additional needs of supports, and whether that be with mobility issues or on the spectrum or deaf or hard of hearing or behavioral, what accommodations are through the different scenarios to they've always needed to be increased or more support for those areas? What in the plan deals with those particular areas?
Well, again, this is another area where there's no details and provision of resources. Again, we can go back in time. I mean, we did an ATIP request a couple of years back, which actually clearly showed the discrepancy in what the district was recommending as needed student assistance hours, just using that as one example, and what was actually provided. At the time, there was over a 400-hour discrepancy between what was provided for and what was actually identified as being in needs. We know these are going to be real concerns. There are students, we have some children in our school system with severe behavioral issues, the biting, the kicking, all those things there. These students need service and supports to have right now. If you think about that in a COVID environment where you're trying to maintain health and safety with regard to physical distancing, it's going to be extraordinarily challenging to implement that. And I support the inclusion model, but in order for these children, for all the different special needs, all the ones that require student support services, it's another case that if you want this plan to be effectively integrated, you have to ensure that necessary resources are put in place. It's why we need to have the consultation with the Department of Education and the school district. The consultation needs to be meaningful. It needs to be acted upon more. It needs to be simply a lot more than simply, I hear you. In terms of a budgetary thing, I look at the past budgetary years and I see that steadily education as a percentage of provincial spending has been dropping. I look those figures right in front of me. The other consultation that needs to happen, and we have requested a meeting with Dr. Fitzgerald's office. We put that letter in some 3 weeks ago. We haven't heard back on a confirmation of a date, but the Premier assured me that that meeting as well will occur, and that meeting will be raised concerns we have in terms of how it's so important to maintain adequate physical distancing, access to adequate PPE for everyone, so that our students can return to school, which is so important, but it has to be done in a safe manner so students get what they need from the school system, but at the same time, their health and the province's health is not put in jeopardy as a result.
Dean, there's another couple of issues, but we'll leave it for another day because of the time on the clock. I know you have national meetings to prepare for, but I appreciate your time this morning. Thank you. Stay in touch.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. All the best. It's NLTA President Dean Ingram. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're speaking with you.